I just want to start by saying thank you so much to everyone who came out tonight. I mean, I'm sure just by watching the video, I'm sure even without watching the video, everyone appreciates the significance of the event that took place today, and what a tremendous opportunity is for Jewish people to come together b'achdus. I mean, you can see just from the dancing, you had every type of Jew there, and I think, you know, this is an event that touches every neshama in Klal Yisrael, and I think it's something we can all relate to very much. So I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity. I don't really feel worthy of speaking on such an important occasion, but Bezrat Hashem, I'll be able to share some words to inspire you for the month of Adar, and hopefully it'll be an aliyah for the neshamot of those who were killed. The Jewish people have a claim that no other nation could claim, and that is that there's an intrinsic unity that we have. There's a bond that goes to the core of our being, and no other nation can claim to have such a thing. And you can see it immediately in source number one. The pasuk tells us that when a person speaks lashon hara, the pasuk describes adam ki yeh ba'or b'saro se'eso sepachas. If a person sees one of the various signs of lashon hara, and the mefarshim ask, why does he use the term adam? There's a lot of terms that we use for people. We sometimes use the word ish, enosh, gever. But why specifically the term Adam? And if you try to figure out the differences between these different expressions that we use for a human being, Adam is a term that's usually reserved for a person who's a higher level being. A Ben Adam is that's already a more chashuv title. So why at the moment that we're describing a person who does such a lowly sin like speaking Lashon Hara, do we call this individual an Adam? And the answer is as follows. If Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, explains in his Perush on Chumash, that of the different terms that we use for man, Adam is the only one that's singular. Right? Ish, Enosh, Gever, all those have a plural component to it. But Adam, there is no plural for Adam. And that really goes to explain, why is it that Lashon Hara is so terrible? What is it about Lashon Hara? By other nations, if they speak Lashon Hara, they don't have a breakout of Tzaras. The answer is because the Jewish people are so deeply bonded, That unity that we have, which is the core of our existence, it's because a person who breaks apart that special relationship, that's what makes it so bad. It's dafka because we're an Adam. It's because we have this oneness that describes why the Lashon Hara is so bad. And the pasuk goes on to describe, and what do you do for a person who has this terrible sin, who rips apart the unity of Klal Yisrael? So the pasuk goes on to describe, who do you go to? You go to the Kohen. You go to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen being the ultimate example of a person who's one who's always shalom v'rodev shalom. You need to get a serious message, a serious lesson in what it means to be part of the tzibur. And if you look in source number 3, the tragedy of it is that when we lack in our unity, all we're really doing is hurting ourselves. When you understand this idea that we are one, we're literally one being. The Baal HaTanya explains, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, that the Jewish people are like one big body, and each person plays a different role. You have people who are heads, you have leaders, you have people who play the heart, maybe the emotional component, you have people who play the arms, the legs, everyone has to know exactly their role. But at the end of the day, we're one big body. And if you look at source number 3, the Yerushalmi tells us in Maseches Nedarim, an unbelievable idea. The pasuk says, "Ksiv lo sikum v'lo sitar." Right? A Jew is not allowed to take revenge, not allowed to bear a grudge. Why? You did something to me. I'm upset. I have a right to be angry. Right? The Torah says you're not allowed to hate your fellow Jew in your heart. If you have bad feelings, you're supposed to talk it out. You're supposed to get it out. So why can't I bear a grudge? It'll help me, unload some of that pressure that I'm feeling. So the Yerushalmi says, you know what it's like? It's like, hey Chavid, what's it like? It's like a person who's cutting a piece of meat, or a person who's hammering a nail, and his hand slips, and what happens? And the knife cuts, he cuts his finger by accident. Instead of cutting that piece of meat, instead of hitting that nail, he hits his own hand. So the Yerushalmi says, "Tachzor v'timche liyadei," is this hand going to hit back? Right? And then the head's going to get involved and say, hey, stay out of this. You're beating yourself up. When a Jew takes revenge against another Jew, or a Jew shows a lack of achdus to another Jew, all you're doing is hurting yourself. And that's why it's such an important idea that the Jewish people act with achdus. They say that Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, I'm sure some of you have read the biography, Rav Aryeh Levin, when he would go to the doctor with his wife, that is a famous line, I'm sure some of you have heard it, he would say, our foot hurts, right? It was his wife who had the foot problem, or his wife, who had the back problem. But he would always say, it's our foot hurts, or our back hurts, right? Why? Because he understood that, a husband and wife, they're one and the same. But the same thing is true on a national level. The Jewish people as a whole, we're one and the same. If a single Jew is hurting, so we're all hurting. Or at least that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's only when we understand this unity It's only in the zchus of understanding this unity that we have a right to become a people. And if you look at source number 4, the pasuk says, "Vayomer mi samcha liish sar v'shofet aleinu." Dalton and Aviram are very upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw that he killed the Mitzri, and now you know they see who's this new troublemaker. Moshe Rabbeinu shows up on the scene, thinks he's a big hotshot. Halar geni ata omer, are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? Right, and Moshe says what? Vayira Moshe, end of the pasuk. Vayira Moshe, Moshe scared. Vayomer achin noda davar. The matter is known. Right, now I understand. What did Moshe understand in that moment? So if you look at Rashi in source number 5, Rashi tells us Vayira Moshe kapshuto. The simple pshat is that he's scared. What's he scared of? He's scared. You know these guys are gonna, I don't know, maybe beat him up. Right? He's scared about. He's just scared. He doesn't know what these guys are gonna do to him. On a deeper level, what's achin noda davar? Now I understand. It says Rashi, midrasho dug lo al sharab yisrael rishon dilatoran. He saw that there were Jewish informers, that there were Jews who were willing to turn in other Jews, and he says emor meata shema inam ruyim ligal. Now maybe there could be no gula. Now I'm scared that the Jewish people can't be redeemed. So the Lubavitch Rebbe, the most recent Lubavitch Rebbe, asks a very simple question. He says, I don't understand. The Jews had a lot of issues in Mitzrayim. They had a lot of averus. Right, it's very confusing. You read midrashim that say they were so great, they did, you know, they were perfect. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their clothing. You read other midrashim that say that they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and that they, you know, they rejected everything. So Lubavitch Rebbe says, I don't understand. Why was this? The fact that, you know, okay, there were a couple bad guys. We're going to turn in, you know, willing to rat out a fellow Jew. Why was this so bad that this? Now Moshe knows that there can't be a gula. So Lubavitch Rebbe says, it's not a question of the severity of the sin. It's not that this sin is so much more severe than anything else, but it's just a reality. How could you possibly become a nation if you can't work together? How could God take you out and make you into a people, right, if you just can't get along? It's a mitzias. It's just a reality. There's no other way around it. So it's very important to realize that the whole basis for becoming a nation, for being the people that we are, the very special people that we are, that we all know that we are, it's only in the zchus of our achdus. Now, on a night like this, you know, where we're commemorating these 8 precious souls, people whose whole lives, young boys whose lives were Torah, there could be no, you know, greater way to remember them than through Limud HaTorah. And the thing that really makes us a nation, you know, it's nice to come out of Mitzrayim, to become a nation, we need to have unity, great. But what good are we as a nation if we don't have the Torah? And the Torah is the greatest gift in the world. And we don't stop often enough to think about it. But the Torah is a guide to life. You don't have any questions. I love, you know, last time I was here, it was also very exciting. I like walking, I don't really like walking in the city. It's kind of whatever. But one of the nice things about it is you look at everyone else and you can just smile. You're so happy to be a Jew. That's kind of what I spoke about last time, for those of you who may remember. Right? You just walk around and you say, you know, these people, they're wandering around. Most of them don't have the great meaning in life that we have. And we have a guide to guide every second of our day, every second of our existence. And it's the most precious gift in the world. And becoming a nation and having this achdus, the next step was getting the Torah. And that achdus is 100% a prerequisite for receiving the Torah. There's no way we could receive the Torah if not for that achdus. If you look, I'm sure everyone knows this Rashi very well, but if you look in sources 6 and 7, it says the Jewish people traveled, v'yisumi refidim, v'yivau midbar Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar, v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. Right? It says in the singular, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar." The Jews in the singular, they dwelt at, or he dwelt at the mountain. Right? Why is it in the singular? So everyone knows the Rashi, "Vayichan sham Yisrael ki ish echad b'lev echad." Right? B'lev echad. There you go. Corporate sponsor. Right? B'lev echad. The Jewish people sat there literally like one person with one heart. And it's not, again, it's not just, you know, by chance that it happens to be we had unity, and it happens to be we got the Torah. No, it's that the fact that we had that unity is what made us eligible to receive the Torah. And Rav Kook writes, I promised that we'd share a lot of thoughts from Rav Kook tonight, so Blin Eder, I'll try to be true to my word. I recently picked up at the Yeshiva himself, for anyone who's interested, you can still pick it up, I'm sure. There's a sefer called Shmuas Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, source number 8. And what it is it's drushos that Rav Kook gave, apparently, a Shal HaShudas from the 1930s or so. Someone was there, he wrote him up. Somewhat of a rare sefer. It's an interesting sefer. So he writes, I found a beautiful piece in there. In Parshas Vayishlach, he writes the following. He says that, what happened? We all know what happens at Har Sinai. Right? The Jewish people said Nasa V'nishma. But at the same time, they were a little skeptical. It was a big commitment. They were scared. Some say they were scared to take on the Torah Sheval Peh, because that's asking a lot more than just the Torah Shebichtav. There were other concerns that they may have had. So what did Hashem do? Gemara in Shabbos says, Hashem picked up the mountain, he held it over our heads, and he said, take the Torah, or I'm going to bury you here. Right? Sounds like a very nice offer. You know, we could talk Torah ki lechach tov, nasati lechem, I gave you a great gift. Right? Hashem put a gun to our head and said, take it or I'm going to shoot you. That's basically what happened. Right? But the question is, why do we have to do it that way? And how does that connect to this theme of Achdus? So Rav Kook writes the following: V'lachein kofa aleim har kegigas, Hashem held a mountain over our head be'ez kabbalas haTorah, ha'isa bitul habachira. Each person lost their individual free will, so to speak, kadesha kulam yikablas haTorah ba'Achdus, so that every single person should receive the Torah equally. And I think what Rav Kook is saying is as follows. He's saying, if we made the Torah optional, if we put up a sign, you know, anyone who's interested, sign up. Right? You can get, you know, a beginner's pamphlet, Ten Commandments. Right? Some people would have signed up, and other people would have been more interested, and some people would have been less interested. But Hashem says, you know what? I'm not interested in giving the Torah in such a way. I want it to be exactly equal. And even if that means, I think you can go so far as to say, that even if it means what? That some people are going to receive it on a lower level than they're on, and they really could have, you know, handled it on a greater level. Rav Kook is teaching us that Hashem would rather have every single Jew equal than to have some Jews up here and some Jews down there. And that's the beauty of receiving the Torah, that it has to be v'achdus. Now, at this point, you might ask, Achdus, you know, doesn't necessarily only apply to the Jewish people. Other nations have a sense of Achdus. Certainly in times of national tragedy after 9/11, everyone in America came together. It didn't matter what religion you were, what color your skin was. Everyone was willing to work together. But there's something very different about that Achdus and the Achdus that we have. If you look in source number 9, the Pasuk seems to say, and the Rashi that follows in source 10, it seems to say that the Mitzrayim also had Achdus. Right? Take a look at the Pasuk. Power hikriv. Power was getting closer. Jewish people lifted up their eyes. Power is chasing from behind. You name Mitzrayim no se'a achareyam. Right? Mitzrayim is no se'a. No se'a is also in the singular. So Rashi says, b'lev echad ki ish echad. Isn't that the exact same thing we said about Klal Yisrael? So there's a very clear difference. Right? If you caught the Rashi carefully, there's a clear difference. Rav Yitzchak Huttner points out in an essay, that by the Jewish people it's what? It's ki'ish echad b'lev echad. By the other nations of the world, it's b'lev echad ki'ish echad. What's the difference? I'm sure some of you have heard this idea as well. But the difference is very simple. The Jewish people were ish echad before were lev echad. Right? There's an intrinsic unity that bonds us together, and because of that, we force ourselves to work together, whether we like it or not. By the other nations of the world, it's only if they're b'lev echad that they act ki'ish echad. If they have a common goal, if they're working towards a common purpose, so then, oh yeah, then they all hold hands. Right? When they're forced to come together for whatever common, you know, purpose it is, so then there's the Achdus. But it's not intrinsic, it doesn't go to their essence. And that's what makes us so special. And it's more, you can even take it one step further. Because it's not just that what? It's not just that in the merit of our Achdus we got the Torah. But being the Achdus is itself Torah. Right, and now we're going into the realm of Chassidus a little bit, which I know some people here will like. But right, the idea is when Jews come together, that's the greatest Torah you can give to God. That's the best shir you could possibly give. If we would just sit here quietly, Hashem would be smiling down from Shemayim saying, "This is a beautiful thing." And I'll give you a proof. I'll give you a very clear proof. We know that one of the greatest moments of Achdus in the calendar for the Jewish people is Hakel. What's Hakel? Everyone comes together, right? Everyone comes up to Yerushalayim, to the base of Mikdash. Men, women, children. We'll talk about it a little more in a minute. But if you just look at the Pesukim, it's very strange. Take a look at source number 11. And someone tell me what the problem is here. Pasuk says, "Bevo kol Yisrael lirosas pnei Hashem lokecha." Right? When everyone comes to see Hashem, "B'makom asher yivchar, tikras haTorah zos." We're commanded to read the Torah. Right? Everyone comes together, we read the Torah. And then what does it say in Pasuk Yudbet? "Hakel asa'am ha'anoshim va'anoshim va'ataf." First the Pasuk says, read the Torah. And then it says, oh, by the way, Hakel asa'am anashim v'anashim v'taf. Gather everyone together. Right? So it seems obvious, right? At least once you know the question, it seems obvious, that it should have been the other way around. Gather everyone together, and then read the Torah. Read the Torah, oh, by the way, you have to gather everyone before. Why does it put it in that order? So the third Ger Rebbe caught this, and he gives us a beautiful insight in source number 12. He says, "Hayitzarich lichtov mikodem hakel v'achar kach tikra." It should have said gather and then read. What's the answer? V'nira mizeh shemashi Yisrael misasfim ze'atzma hu Torah. Right? How do you read the Torah? Get the Jewish people together. That is Torah. That's the most beautiful Torah in the world. And you know, unfortunately we can call it, you know, a big chidushei Torah. right? Chiddush Torah, original insights in Torah. It doesn't happen so often, so I guess, you know, people come up with original insights occasionally. This is a pretty big chiddush. When the Jewish people can all come together for a common cause, that's a beautiful piece of Torah that we give to God. And he says further, he says, that's what the pasuk means when it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. What is the Torah of Moshe? Moresha kihilas Yaakov. When the kihila of Yaakov comes together, when the Jewish people come together, ba'achdus, that's the most beautiful Torah in the world. And I'll tell you, if that's not chassidish enough for some of you, so we'll take it one step further. Take a look at source 13. And if anyone has any questions, please, cut me off. If I'm not clear about anything, jump in. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer, Shnayim sheyoshun ve'ein b'neim divrei Torah, hareza moshav leitzim. If two people sit together and they don't learn Torah, it's a moshav leitzim. I'll give everyone 10 seconds to try to figure out where we're going to put the comma to make it into a chassidish avar. Right? So the Slonim Rebbe, the base of Ram, of Slonim, and the Kotzker Rebbe, both say the same idea. What do they say? Put the comma after the word Beinayan. Right? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer, Shnayim Shioshrin ve'ein Beinayam, comma, Divrei Torah. If two Jews sit together, ve'ein Beinayam, what does it mean, ein Beinayam? There's nothing between them. They sit together with a love, with an achdus, that is Divrei Torah. Right? But Harei Zeh, as soon as they say Zeh, you know, I'm a great person. I can't be mavato myself to this other person, right? I'm not going to lower myself. I know that I'm much better than this person. And you put up that barrier. As soon as you put up that barrier, Moshe Vleitzim. All of a sudden, this beautiful opportunity became, you know, the sitting of fools. So again, it goes to the core of our being that becoming a nation requires achdus, and receiving the Torah requires achdus. But it's more than that. When we act with achdus, that is the greatest Torah that we could possibly give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the big mistakes that people make about achdus is that they think, you know, achdus means I have to become the same as the person, the other person who I'm trying to be ba'achdus with. Right, I'm walking down the street. This happens to me all the time. You're walking down the street. Right, my in-laws live in Muncie, for example. So there's a lot of Jews, you know, a lot of different types of Jews in Muncie. So I'm walking down the street and I'll pass by some chassid. He looks very different than me, right? And immediately, you know, there's like just this tension between us. You know, I feel like he's looking at me weird. He probably thinks I'm looking at him weird, right? Instead of just, you know, embracing him and saying, hey, you know, holy Jew, nice to see you, Shalom Aleichem. Immediately, you know, we start to get defensive. Well, you know, my way of Judaism is the best. And he's thinking, well, my pants are longer than yours, so I'm much better than you, right? Immediately we start to think in that way. But the reality is, achdus doesn't mean I become the same as the other person. It's a very, very beautiful idea from the Chafetz Chaim. Shared it this summer. Some of you may remember it if you were with me in camp. But if you take a look at source 14, let's take it from line 7. This comes from the Sefer Heimayin Achamuni by the current Tolner Rebbe. He's a Rebbe, he's one of the Chassidish Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael. I had the privilege once to go to him for Malav Malki. He's an unbelievable tzaddik. He speaks English. You can talk to him in English. His last name happens to be Weinberg. I went over to meet him, and someone introduced him. He said, oh, this is Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. He said, oh, my name is also Weinberg. He's very friendly, very nice, and he's very down-to-earth. He's an unbelievable tzaddik. So he has these farm, Hemi and Achamuni. So he writes an idea, he says, in line 6, he calls it, Avart Nifla Shal Chafetz Chaim, a wondrous insight of the Chafetz Chaim. And what is it? And explains this mistake that we make. Let's take a look in line 7, where it says, HaGemara HaYadua. HaGemara HaYadua Mufarsemes, there's a well-known Gemara, Midaberes Al Ish V'Isha Sheshchina Bineim. Right, the Gemara describes how in a Jewish couple, right, in the Jewish home, when a husband and wife come together, the Shekhinah resides amongst them. Right, you bring Hashem's presence into your home. What happens? Berega shechalila misalkim eshem Hashem mitocham. When you take the letters of God's name, the Yud out of Ish and the Hey out of Isha, when you pull it out of their names, what are you left with? Right, God forbid, you're left with an Ish. We've all heard this Gemara. Right, Nisharim Osios Ish. So look what he explains in line 9. Im nisbone in omer Chafetz Chaim, the Chafetz Chaim says, hold on. Right? We never stop to think about it. Nir shadafka osios ha'esh, heina osios ha'shavos b'ish v'isha. Right? Where's the esh? The esh is the common letter between the man and the woman. Right? Where's the difference? Where's the godliness? V'ilu osios shem Hashem, the letters of God's name, the yud and the hey, heina osios ha'shonos. Those are the different letters. What's the message? Right, that the Jewish home, the peace and the beautiful home that they're trying to create, comes from what? Not from the husband trying to make his wife into, you know, another version of himself, or not the wife trying to convert the husband into another version of herself, but rather they each bring their own unique thing, and when they bring that to the equation, that's where Hashem's presence dwells. Right? It's dafka when they remove that, when they try to become one and the same. That's where the Aish is. Let's take a look, another idea from Rav Kook. There's a Gemara that describes Hakel. Right? And I mentioned it earlier, Hakel, where everyone comes together. And if you look four lines from the end in source 15, the Gemara says, Uvama haisa hagada yom. Two great rabbis came to visit their Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, no, you came from the Beis Medrash, tell me something. They said, oh, you know, we're not going to speak in front of you. He says, no, come on, share a little something. So they say, fine, I'll tell you what was going on. He says, Ma haisa hagada yom. What were they talking about in the Beis Medrash today? Amrlo, Parshas Hakel. They were talking about Hakel. Uma darishba, no. So what was the Chiddush? What did people say about Hakel? So he says, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Hakel asa'am ha'anashim v'hanashim v'ataf, gather together the people, the men, women, and children, im anashim ba'am lilmod. If the men come to learn, nashim ba'os lishmoa, and the women come to listen, right? It doesn't mean that women don't learn, that just means that some women don't learn, right? And more men do learn, okay? I'm not here, I don't want to get hit with anything. Fine. Just wanted to get that out of the way. Okay? Taf lama ba. So why do the kids come? Right? What do you bring the babies along for? K'deilitein schar l'miviyayin. You bring along a little bit, you know, you bring along the little babies so that the people who bring them get the reward. Right? Hakel, the ultimate example of achdus. Everyone comes together. Says Rav Kook in an essay, it's very funny. This is the ultimate example of achdus, yet what? Everyone's coming for a different reason. The men come for one reason. The women come for a different reason. The babies and the children come for another reason. So what do you see? You see that achdus doesn't mean that I become you and you become me. Achdus means that each person brings his own unique talent to the table, and that creates the greatest achdus in the world. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Hashem can't possibly demand anything more than us, anything more from us. Hashem doesn't want us to become something we're not. Hashem wants us to just be ourselves, but at the same time to have kavod and have respect for other people around us. In the Sefer Tana de Be'elio, which is a medrash attributed to Eliyahu HaNavi. So the medrash says, "V'kach amar," this is source 16, "V'kach amar l'makadosh baruch hu Yisrael." Hashem says to the Jewish people, you know, you think about it, all the things we do for Hashem, so to speak, are we really doing anything for Hashem? Does Hashem need anything? Right? Are we doing Him a favor when we serve Him? He says, listen, here's the reality. Right? B'ni ahavai, right? My dear children, my son, my children, klum chasarti davar shavakesh mikem. Hashem says, am I lacking anything that I need you to fill in the gaps? Do I need your karbanos? Do I need your tefillah? Right? Do I need your Torah? Hashem doesn't need anything from us. Umani mevakesh mikem. So what could you possibly give me? Right? What's the one thing that we could possibly give a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's a pretty simple request. Ha'einani mevakesh mikem el shtiu ovin zezeh v'tiu mechabdin zezeh. I want nothing more than that you should love each other and respect each other. That sounds pretty simple. Right, if it's the sum of the Jewish religion in one line, there you have it. Right? That we should have a decency towards one another, we should love each other and respect each other. That sounds simple enough. I have to tell you this story. Now this is a high level. I'm not going to pretend that I'm anywhere near this. That's obvious, I don't have to say that when you hear the story. It's a very high level, but I think we could take something from it. Here's the story. The Rebbe Rav Shmelko of Nicholsburg. I didn't make that name up. When I told this story to my students, they're like, oh, that's like, you know, where did you pull that one? That's like Plony Almoni, right? Of Shmelko of Nicholsburg. He was one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. And many famous students. So when he first came to Nicholsburg, so there's a very wealthy Hasid in the town, and he decided to invite the Rebbe for a cup of coffee. He had a big honor. He put out a nice spread for the Rebbe. Okay, great. So the Rebbe comes in. He's sitting at the table, and they bring out, you know, the china, beautiful, piping hot cup of coffee, and a nice pitcher, you know, fancy pitcher of milk, and whatever, some biscuits, some whatever, crackers, cookies, I don't know, regular, whatever you're into. And the Rebbe's sitting there for a minute or two, and he says to the chassid, he says, Nu, where's the milk? So he says, oh, you didn't see it, it was behind the orange juice, I guess you couldn't, it's right there, points to the pitcher of milk. Okay, it's quiet, sitting there another minute. So he says to the chassid, Nu, where's the milk? Okay, so, you know, when a Rebbe starts, you know, asking things like this, something's up. So the chassid runs out, right? You can probably guess where the story's going. He runs to the garbage can, pulls out the container of milk, and what does he see? Treif. Bought the wrong one, right? Moshi's treif milk. You know, right next to Moshi's kosher milk. Okay, fine, great. So he comes back in, he says, Rebbe, unbelievable. You know, how did you know? You know, and I have an even bigger question. If you knew with your Rebbe's powers that the milk was treif, so why didn't you just say the milk was treif? Why did you keep saying, where's the milk, where's the milk? So the Rebbe, you know, sheepishly replied to him. He says, because it was treif, I physically couldn't see it. I physically couldn't see it. Now this might sound like a crazy thing. You might not believe it. You might not want to take it literally. If you don't buy the story, you can speak to me after. I'll try to prove to you why I think it's meant to be taken literally. He wasn't just teaching him a lesson. I honestly believe that just like a person could have a physical blockage in his eye, that he's not able to see something, to perceive something, it's also possible for a person to train his eye in such a way to have a spiritual blockage, that you block out anything that you're, you know, that's unholy. Now, what does this have to do with us? So I think that if, you know, if a great tzaddik could train himself to reach such a high level that he's not able to perceive something straight, and he walks into a supermarket, he sees empty shelves, right? So at the very least, maybe we can train ourselves not to see the treif within our own fellow Jews, right? I mean, I think that much is reasonable to ask. They tell a story where Shlomo Freifeld, the founder of Shar Yashuv, was once sitting with Rav Amos Bunim. And he said to him, he pointed to a certain boy, and he said, "You see that boy over there?" He says, "Yeah, I see him." He says, "No, you see him?" He says, "I see him." He says, "No, you don't see him." He says, "You see his ponytail, and you see his ripped t-shirt." He says, "You don't see his neshama." Right? They're seeing and they're seeing. There's different ways to, you know, there's different ways to look at a person. And I think one of the reasons our achdus is so unfortunately lacking is because we have a very crooked perspective of the world. We don't know how to look at things in the right way. It just happened to me. I have a personal story. It happened two weeks ago. It was Friday night. I came home from shul. My 3-year-old daughter Gabriella is standing by the Shabbos candles, you know, and I'm getting nervous. And she says to me, "It was beautiful. I never thought of this, you know, I never looked at it this way in my life." She says to me, she says, "The candles are dancing." Right? Well, the flames jumping up and down. I said, "That's very nice." I said, "Why are they dancing?" She said, "It's Shabbos. They're dancing for Hashem." I said, "That's beautiful. You know, I see, Gabriella, watch out, you know, stop, danger, don't touch it." What does she see? She sees Shabbos candles dancing for Hashem. You know? So they're seeing and they're seeing. There's two ways to look at everything. And part of the problem is that we don't know how to look with the right perspective. And again, you know, it's a high level to demand of ourselves to only see the good in others, but it's something to strive for. And I'll tell you an unbelievable story with Rav Kook. Rav Kook was once walking back from a bris. He was walking in the old city. And, you know, Rav Kook faced a lot of opposition in his life. So these religious zealots who decided to start up with him, and they were very cruel to him, and they came over to Rav Kook and, you know, his whole entourage, and they dumped sewage water all over Rav Kook. This was not like, you know, when he was a young man. He was already Rav Kook. Right, this was before the State of Israel, but he was the people who respected him really respected him at this point. And it was a terrible, terrible, terrible disgrace, terrible disrespect for the honor of Rav Kook. So people were furious. The people who were with him, they wanted to kill these guys. And someone, an important government official, came to Rav Kook and said, "You should press charges." And he says, "I have power to get these guys kicked out of the land." And Rav Kook responded the following. I'll read you his quote. "I have no interest in legal actions, and I love them despite what they did to me. I love them so much that I'm even prepared to kiss them. My entire being burns with love for every single Jew." And this was right after it had happened. So again, this is Rav Kook, and we're not all Rav Kook, and we're not Rav Shmelk of Nicholsburg, but at the very least, we could strive for something. We could try to, in a little bit, in our own way, to try to bring some of that achdus. So now let's take it into the realm of Purim. So if you look at source 17, our enemies know that achdus is our Achilles heel. They know that when the achdus is low, that's the ultimate time to attack. Right? Haman says to Achashverosh in source 17, "Vayomer Haman lemelech Achashverosh, yesh no am echad mefuzar mefurad." There's a nation that's scattered, that they're different than everyone else. Bein amim, right? They don't function like all the other nations, right? And this claim of yesh no am echad mefuzar mefurad is not just saying they're scattered throughout your kingdom, Achashverosh. It's that these Jews, you know, they don't have achdus. They do their own thing. But if you really understand what he means by those two words, mefuzar u'mefurad, if you really understand what he's trying to say, it's probably one of the most painful expressions in all of Tanakh. Take a look at source 18. There's a sefer called Bina Le'itim, of Ezra Figo, Tiz Drushos, and he writes, what does it mean, mefuzar u'mefurad? And it's so sad and it's so true. It's a beautiful vart, but it's not a very easy one to swallow. Kavanas Haman haye lekatrig lehalshin aleihem she'ein b'neihem achdus v'shalom. Haman wanted to say that what? That the Jewish people don't have achdus. V'af she'ein mefuzarim ma'atenu marhena. And you would think that since we're so few to begin with, and we're scattered, you know, a little cluster of Jews here, a little cluster of Jews here, we're such a tiny, tiny percentage of the entire world, you would think the few people that we are would be able to get along. V'ayim in aroy. And you would think it would be appropriate, since we're so few to begin with, that we don't have, you know, a dominant force, you'd think the few Jews in any given community, right? Since we're so few and so scattered, you think we could get along. Maybe even daven in one minyan, right? Maybe say hi when we pass each other in the street. And the reality says, Haman is what? Ve'enam kein. Elohum mifurad beino leveino. That even in their own little clusters, they can't get along. Isn't that terrible? But it's so true, right? It's so true. We could pass the same person, you know, every single day for years and never say hello. Sit next to them in shul for years or in a class and never once say hi. You know, who are you? What's your name? Right? And we do it all the time. And our enemies understand that and they try to exploit it. And we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, right, again, it's in a totally Hasidic fashion, but the line simply read is what? Shelo echad bovad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Right? Not only once did they get up to destroy us, but b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation they come, they try to destroy us. But again, where do you put the comma? That's all you have to do. To be a chassid shem, all you have to know is where to put the comma. Right? What does it mean? How do you read it? Shelo echad bilvad, comma, amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Right? Shelo echad. As soon as there's a lack of one, bilvad, that alone, amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. As soon as our enemies see that there's a lack of unity, they know that's the opportune time to strike. And they do. And they always do. So the question is, so how do we respond? Right? So we happen to be lucky. Our enemies sometimes do us a favor. Our enemies sometimes show us where the problem is. Right? The Pasuk says, "Me oivai techakmeni." I get smart from my enemies. If you figure out where the enemy is attacking, you can figure out where you need to put your efforts in. Right? So the response has to be, if Haman's saying there's a lack of unity, the response has to be a tremendous outpouring of unity. And that's exactly, you know, what we're here doing tonight. That's exactly what Purim's all about. Right? Mordechai understood this more than anyone. Mordechai's own life was so threatened, and yet what? He put himself aside for the klal. If you look in source 20, Rav Zalman Saratskin, I'm sure some of you know his parish on the Chumash, Aznaim LaTorah, so he has a parish on Megillas Esther. And he writes, on the Pasuk, as Kol Asher Karo, Mordechai hears about everything that's happening, and he understands how he himself plays a critical role in everything that's happening. His refusal to bow down to Haman is what's getting Haman so furious, and yet what? He puts it all aside. Tsaras haklal naga ad libo ki'ilu hit tsaraso hapratit. Right? Mordechai focuses on the tsar, the difficulty of the tzibur, of the klal. It reached the depths of his heart as if it was his own personal problem. Va'af shagama lav nigzar gzera. And even though he should be, right? I mean, what would most of us be thinking? You know, my life's on the line. I have to worry about my family. I have to worry. I got to get out of here. You know, I got to get a visa out of the country, right, to flee. He didn't think about himself. I think about the klal as two separate things. There's me, and then there's klal Yisrael. That wasn't how it was for him. He viewed it as one big issue, and this is my problem. The tzibur's problem is my problem. And Mordechai, even earlier in the Megillah, we find that Mordechai understands that the underlying theme here, the underlying problem of everything, is this issue of achdus. And I'll share with you just two more ideas to show you this. If you look in Source 21, there's a sefer called Arve Nacha. And he quotes the Al-Sheikh, and it's an obvious question. When Mordechai finds out that there's a plot against the king, you would think, what would he do? He would go to the king and tell him. But he doesn't. He goes, and what does he do? He tells Esther, go tell the king. Esther goes to Achashverosh, and she says, in the name of Mordechai. Right? So Mordechai is trying to give the credit to Esther. Esther's giving the credit back to Mordechai. Why? So if you look in line 9, Ubir, right? That's the question the Al-Sheikh asks. Okay, you can read it in the first few lines. Here's the answer. Ubir ki kol maimud v'kiyom am Hashem hu al-yedei ha'achdus. The answer is as follows. Right? Our whole existence comes through our achdus. Kanoda, as it quotes a medrash, we'll skip over that for the moment. Let's go to line 12. V'cheinu bepratis ba'anashim pratiyim. And if it's true on a national level, again, it's true on an individual level. Right? That what? If two Jews get together and they love each other in the deepest way, right, with a real ava amitis, right, a real true love, belev shalim, with a complete heart, where all I want to do is what? Is benefit the other one. And you have such a deep love, to the point that I don't even think about myself, my whole focus is you. Where my whole focus is benefiting my friend. Line 17. So what does Hashem do? Hashem looks down and he says, listen, if these people are only interested in helping others, so Hashem says, you know what? I'm only interested in helping others. Hashem responds equally. Hashem puts aside all of his work. whatever he's busy with. And Hashem wants nothing more than to help out those individuals. And Mordechai and Esther understood that. They knew that if they are mevatel themselves to each other, and each one puts the other one first, that's the way to be saved. And it's the reality of the world we live in today. The only way we're going to get out of this difficult gullus is when the Jewish people finally get back together. Let me just check the time. Okay, let's do one more idea and then we'll wrap up. If you look in Source 22, the Shem Yishuah. So if Achdus is the underlying theme of Purim, we have another major question. Right? Why is it that we don't celebrate Purim on one day? You have Purim, you have Shushan Purim. And anyone here who studies the Mishnayos and Maseches Megillah, the first Mishnah says that the Megillah can actually be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th of Adar. Right? If you look in the Yerushalmi, actually, it says you can read the Megillah the entire month. So you would think the holiday that's trying to stress Jewish unity, we could pick one day. Right? I mean, this is the problem we've been talking about the whole time. Right? We want to be together, but even, you know, even when we're trying to work together, we can't work together. So I don't understand. Why couldn't they just pick one day to celebrate? Here's the answer. Take a look at line 28. Vulai. So you have to understand one other thing also. You have to understand that the enemy of Purim, Amalek, right? Amalek is a descendant of Esav. And Esav is the root of all disunity. Right? Esav, the Medrash says, on his name, Esav, Dashav Shabarati Bo'olami. This is the emptiness that I created in the world. Right? Esav creates all the confusion in the world. So with that introduction, take a look at line 28. It says the Shem Yishmuel, Vulai. But Sharaz Haisa Shlita Lahaman. Haman, being a descendant of Esav, being a Malik, being a person who represents total lack of unity. Hichnis Kochos Hara Ela Ba'olam. When Haman was in the world, he was such a force of disunity that the whole world was affected by it. And even the Jewish people. V'nifkmu gam Yisrael k'tza b'ninza. And even the Jewish people, a people who by nature are so united, were ripped apart just by having a Haman Harasha in the world. And when Achashverosh took off his ring and gave it to Haman, that got the Jewish people back on track. His arm, right? Because we were scared. So what do? His arm to Yisrael b'chol oz. We strengthened ourselves. V'chagru sheiros onam. V'chazru v'iskashu b'avien shemashamayim. B'tfila u'bebechi. We were so scared that what happened? We were forced to come back together out of fear. Our fasting, our crying to Hashem, the opposite of what Haman was trying to do. Right? The Jewish people became a kehila. We came together. The opposite of mifuzar mifurad. And that's why we know that Purim is a time of what? Of a reacceptance of the Torah. Right? It says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Jewish people re-accepted the Torah out of love. But it's very interesting. If you actually look in a Megillah, what does it say? It says, Kimu v'kibel. Right? We read it, Kimu v'kiblu. But it's actually written in the singular, Kimu v'kibel. Why? Because that achdus, the same, Kishachad b'leinuchad, v'yichan shem Yisrael neged ahar, it's the exact same thing that comes back on Purim. And says, if we'll jump down to line 52, and now we understand why we have different days for Purim. Ulfia Amar Yuvan, Shagam Lidoris Tiknushia Purim Bizmanim Chalukim, Vulasor Shal Zebizeh. Purim celebrated on different days, and if I celebrate the 14th, I still have to keep certain practices on the 15th. I can't have a eulogy, I can't fast. Why? Because we wanted to learn that what? That even if I'm not exactly the same as you, that even if we have two different days, I can still respect you, and I can still be a part of your day. Even if I'm not going to celebrate it exactly the same day. Right, the message of Purim is that Achdus doesn't mean I become you. Achdus means I respect you and I'm willing to work with you. So just to conclude, we'll turn over to page 5. We've explained a lot, hopefully. I hope people enjoyed. I hope we've really touched on some very important ideas. But you know, just to reiterate, Achdus is really, it's the key to the Gula. It's the thing that we need now more than ever. We just said this past Shabbos when we invited in, we read the Birchas HaChodesh to invite in Chodesh Adar, and we say it every month. But all the more so this month, we should really say it again and mean it. Take a look at Source 24. We say every month, Hu Yigalo Sanu Bekaro V'Yikabi Sincheinu Mi'arba Kanfos Aretz. We beg Hashem. We beg Hashem, please, a very powerful tefillah, to please gather us from the four corners of the earth, Chaveirim Kol Yisrael. Right? That the only way that you're going to bring the Gula, the only way that you're going to gather us together is when we're ready to be Chaverim Kol Yisrael. And we see it throughout history. Anytime Gula is nearby, we see that what? That there's an idea of gathering together. In Source 25, in Source 26, Take a look. Yaakov Avinu, we know on his deathbed, wants to reveal, Rashi tells us, he wants to reveal when Mashiach is coming to his children. So what does he say to them? Vayikra Yaakov Abanov, Vayomar, Hayasfu, gather together. Vagidalachem, it's Shir Yikra Eschem, Ba'achar Seyam, I'll tell you about the end of days. Right? Again, it's not by chance he's saying, you know, come together and we'll talk about this. He's telling them, this is the secret to bringing the Achar Seyam. We want Mashiach now. So this is the answer. Hayasfu, gather together. Source 26. Vayhi Bishur Melech. When are we going to see the Melech HaMashiach? We all daven for it. We ask for it every day. Bisasev Rosh Hayam. When is it all going to come together? Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. When the Jewish people can sit together. When we can look at each other. We can say hello. And we can really mean it. And that's really the key to getting back to where we came from. And we know that our whole purpose in this world is to try to undo one of Era. Right? The original sin. To get back to Bereishis. To get back to that original purity. And I saw a beautiful hint to this in the Sefer Alekach Ba'alibuv. Rav Avram Shor, he's a Rav who lives in Brooklyn today, he says, Kol Yisrael Arevim in Gematria equals Bereishis, 913. What's the idea? It's when the Jewish people live with a sense of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, when we realize that, yeah, every Jew is responsible for every single other Jew, we'll be back where we started. We'll be back to where we belong. And just the other night, as I was putting together this shir, you know, I guess in the schus of my efforts to put together this shir, Hashem gave me a little original thought as well, and that is the following. Take a look at source 28. Right, we say Morasha Kilas Yaakov. Morasha Kilas Yaakov has the same Rashi Teivos as Matzmiach Cheren Yeshua, because the two things are connected to each other. We daven every day, Matzmiach Cheren Yeshua, Hashem, you know, bring the Yeshua. Right, when's it going to happen? Morasha Kilas Yaakov. It starts with the same letters. Why? It's not by chance. When Hashem created the world, He used the osiness of the Torah. There's a reason when things line up like this. It's not, you know, it's not made up stuff. I know sometimes people feel that way, but it's not. It's a very deep thing when you have a gemashir or letters that line up. It's teaching us. It's teaching us the, you know, the key to the geula. So we'll just conclude with two quotes from Rav Kook. The first one is a famous idea that many great tzaddikim have said, but you know, for the occasion, we'll quote it from Rav Kook's Orat HaKodesh. Rav Kook writes, obviously he didn't write it in English, but he writes the following. Since the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed through senseless hatred, it must be rebuilt through a great unconditional love. And if we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that's the Gaulus we're still sitting in, if it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, so we've all heard this idea, but to really internalize it, hopefully tonight, is that the way to rebuild it is through Avas Chinam. And how do we do that? So again, it's, you know, it's the little things that we've been talking about. Reaching out to someone, saying hello, doing a favor for someone you don't know so well, and just, you know, strengthening our commitment to Torah mitzvahs. That's what the whole month of Adar is about. A reacceptance of the Torah. And Rav Kook writes in Orot Yisrael, Kol masha adam marbe b'torah v'mitzvos, the more I'm connected to Torah mitzvos, the more I'm connected to the pulse of the Jewish people. Right? The more I'm connected, miskasher hu yoser b'knesses Yisrael. You become deeply and more greatly connected to the Knesset Yisrael. That's the term that we use for the Jewish people at large. Umargish b'kirbo. Right, Rav Kook in his beautiful poetic style. Umargish b'kirbo. He feels it in his neshama. It's nishmas haklal kulo. He feels the deep connection. When you're connected to Torah, you're connected to the Jewish people. B'tamtziso ayoser al yona. Right, it's the greatest, most loftiest feeling. V'chash b'chol m'chuso asatzar shel Knesset Yisrael b'shefusa. And when you're connected to Torah, you really feel the pain of the Jewish people when we're down. But at the same time, we'll be zocha, u'mis'aneg misimchas olamim hasidah lefaneh. We'll be zocha to experience the tremendous pleasure that awaits the Jewish people. And I'll conclude with a final story. Tomorrow night is the art site of the fourth Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, a tremendous tzaddik. And he tells a story, and I think this is a very appropriate story to end with. After the Six-Day War, there was a lot of discussion in Eretz Yisrael about the possibility of bringing the Karban Pesach. Right, why? Well, we had access to the Old City again. And technically, you can get around a lot of the halachic problems that you would think would prevent us from bringing the Karban Pesach. Technically, the Rambam says you don't need a Beis HaMikdash. Technically, you don't need to be Tahor. Right? You can bring, if everyone's Tameh, you're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach even when we're Tameh. And they were working out, can you figure out exactly the place of the Mizbeach? And can we make a replica Mizbeach? And what about Big Day Kahuna? And there's great rabbis were dealing with this issue. I even have a little book at home all about this topic, called Karnos HaMizbeach. Right? Are you able to bring Karbanos Mizman HaZeh? Right? Imagine if we could go up to Harabais and bring a Karban, it would be an unbelievable thing. So they came to the Ger Rebbe and they asked him his opinion about it. And he said, I'll tell you what the biggest problem is. He says, Karban Pesach is a Karban. The Gemara says you're not allowed to slaughter it by yourself. Right? Everyone has to eat it b'chabura. He says, Karban Pesach requires a tzibur. And he says, you know what I don't see? I don't see a tzibur. He says, even if we could get around every single other problem, we're not a tzibur. Right? And this was at a time when, you know, the Jewish people were celebrating, and there still wasn't a tzibur. So Mirtz Hashem, hopefully in the in the merit, we should commit ourselves in the for the honor of these great tzaddikim who gave their lives for Torah. And God willing, in the schus of the month of Adar, a month where we recommit ourselves to Torah, right? We just gave the half shekel. Everyone gives their half shekel, and we become a full shekel. Now, Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha in this month to really strengthen our commitment to Torah and to mitzvos, to strengthen our commitment to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even if there's no Beis Hamikdash, God willing, in a month and a half from now, in the month of Pesach, in the month of Nisan, we'll be able to bring a Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Thank you very much.
One second. Thank you so much.